All right, let's turn to the book of Psalms 23. Hopefully I can bring us some things tonight that maybe we can look at that can help us. Psalms 23 tonight, just for a little while tonight. But I'm going to read one verse of scripture. I may have might run two verses of scripture here in chapter 22. And that's the very first verse, maybe the second, I don't know. But it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where art thou so far from helping me? And from the word of my rowing, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. Verse 3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praise of Israel. Verse 4 says, our father trusteth in thee, they trusteth, and thou didst deliver them. Verse 5 says, they cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not conformed. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what we've just read. And Father, here in a minute we're going to finish reading. But we ask in tonight, Father, that you may touch the words that's upon these pages. Father, that you may speak to my heart about what I read, and Father, that maybe I can bring something out a little different. And Father, that it will encourage each one of us this coming week and the days ahead, Father. And Father, we just need to go about telling people how much you've done for us and how much you love us and how much you care for us. So Father, we thank you. And what you're going to do tonight, we thank you for the blessings that you're going to prepare our hearts with through the Word of God. And thank you once again for the precious Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Here in the Psalms chapter 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to look at that last phrase here just for a moment tonight, and I'm going to be going back to the other verses also. But it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I want us to think on that portion right there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. We must have a desire in our heart to dwell in his house, And once we have the desire to dwell within the house of the Lord, we will have it in our own soul that we will dwell upon Him. But here it is, walking through the valley. Walking through the valley. How many of you today has ever experienced just walking in the valley? Just walking. And you don't think nobody's around you. You know, you think God is so far away from you, you don't think God can even hear you. I've been in them places. I've been in them places that I didn't think God was around. I didn't think God was nowhere there. But He was always there. He was always there walking with me and talking with me. But yet we need to remember about walking through the valley. Where do we grow at? We grow through the valley. We don't grow upon the mountaintop, because the mountaintop that we get up on, there's nothing but probably rocks and what is left of the fertile ground that is washed down through the valley. But we don't come, and we will not be blessed by God by being on the mountaintop. Yes, sometimes we'd love to be on the mountaintop. But you know what? I believe I would rather be in the valley, because that's the richness of God. That's the richness that He provides for each one of us, is in the valley. Because you can take a farm right here, and you can have 100 acres of land right here, and you can have 10 acres of land where down in the low ground of the land around. And you can have the other land that is up above the low land. And you can ask them, says, which land would you rather have? Which one would you rather have? And He will always come up. He would rather have the land in the low lands. Why? Because that's the richness of the soil. That's the richness of the vegetables. That's the richness that is there, that He can look to, and He will be overwhelmed by the blessings that God has for us. We need to be overwhelmed. We need to not worry about where we're at. As long as we're in the valley, we don't need to worry about that, because we're right where God wants us. If we are on a mountaintop, we need not to worry about, because we're on a mountaintop. Because that's right where God wants us. We need to be submissive unto Him. We need to be close to the Lord. Because as long as we're close to Him, then He's going to be close to us. But if we say, well, Lord, I really don't want to be down here in this valley all the time. Lord, it's kind of weary down here. All the land down here is just wet. Low land, just wet and everything. You can't hardly grow anything down here. But yes, you can. You just have to pick out the right kind of vegetables to plant in the wet areas. Now you take watermelon and you take a cantaloupe. Now, that right there is nothing. I mean, I had a granddaddy. Before he passed away, he always loved watermelon. And he loved growing watermelon. But where he would grow it at would be on the low land. Where was that? Right down there next to the river. It wasn't up on the mountaintop, up above. It was always down in the lowlands. Why? Because the lowland received the water. The water run off from the mountaintop and it will run down into the valley. That's the reason we should never complain when we're walking. And when we're walking for the Lord, should never complain, because that's where God has got us. That's where God wants us at that particular time. I don't know the reason, and I cannot answer. I've tried my very best to seek out, and I've tried my very best to ask God, why is He allowing this to come upon me now, when I'm having many strokes And I would love to be able to where I can get around and not have to worry about that. I would love to be down here each and every day working in the building. I would love to be doing this. I would love to be in doing that. But I should not complain. But we all complain. Why? We're all people that love to complain. And we should never complain. I should never complain because, hey, yes, the Lord is allowing many strokes to come my way. But praise the Lord, He hasn't had a major stroke come my way. He's still allowing me to be in God's house. He's still allowing me to be up here and reading His precious word. He's allowing me to go out here and tell people when I get to feeling better. Now, like on Monday, after Sunday, I don't usually do anything on Monday. I don't usually go out or anything because Sunday completely wears me out. And I'm not complaining. But if the Lord allows me to go out on a Monday, if the Lord touches me to where I can go out tomorrow, I will go out tomorrow. See, but it's not but a few days that I can go out. Why? Because that is the health and it's my fault. It's not God's fault. It's not even Satan's fault. It's not the devil's fault because my health is in the shape it's in. It's not. I'm not going to blame the devil. Because the devil didn't make me get them dozen donuts and eat them dozen donuts. He didn't make me eat the things that I eat in the past that allowed me to have sugar. All of that come back and there's honing me. But I cannot blame the devil for that. I'm scared. Please don't leave here tonight saying and misunderstanding me. But you know, a whole lot of times, we as Christians, we put a whole lot of blame on the devil. And the devil is nowhere around. We know better. We have God's word to teach us, and we know better. I don't have to pray. And I don't have to ask God. I said, God, this week, would you touch me to where I can be able to tithe my 10%, and Lord, and bless me to where I can maybe give a little more. Then I can give an offering. No. The devil's not telling me not to tithe, and the devil's not telling me not to give offering. That is me. I know what the difference is. The Word of God tells me the difference. I have the Word of God. So if I go against anybody, I'm going against God. That's who I'm going against. We don't need to blame the devil. The devil is being blamed too much and too often. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But I need not to blame him all the time. Oh, yes. It's a whole lot of stuff he needs to be blamed for. And he is guilty. He is guilty. But I'll tell you one thing. The devil, Satan himself, and all of his angels, they're going to bow down to God too. Amen.
They're going to be that. They're going to bow down to God like all the other non-believers. And non-believers, some people think that they are not going to have to face God, but they are. They're going to have to face God. They're going to have to. We'll say, God, you know, I didn't mean it, God, you know. They really wouldn't come by and visit me, Lord. And then he'll say, oh, you remember? Back on a Thursday in 1973, some people come by your house and they knocked on your door and they invited you to church. You didn't even open the door for them, but you still left your TV blasting. You have no excuse. And I'm afraid that among the people, among the ones that won't even darken the door, is going to face God one day. And we're going to have church members right there with them. Right there with them. Because they didn't come to the altar when the Holy Spirit was speaking. They didn't come. Hey, he will not always strive with man. He will not always speak to an individual's heart. He will speak. And he will speak and he will speak to that individual. Until he just says, and they don't need me speaking to them anymore. That right there is a shame in itself. A shame in itself. But our Lord leads us to the valley. He leads us to the valley. And that valley was where David was, here in the book of Psalms. They say that you could stand right there on the mountaintop, right there, on the hillside there, and you could look down into the valley, and you would think it would be just little ants down there moving around. There would be that small. But here it is, David was down there. He was down there and had his flock, had his sheep there grazing. He didn't have no goats with him. Why? The sheep itself don't like goats. They don't like goats. They don't like, if it's a bunch of them out, they know the goats will, if a goat will come in, the goat will disturb them. The goat will separate them and everything. Just like the world does. Just like the wolves of the world will come into the church and want to separate us. We got to be mindful to who comes into the church and what they do within the church. We need to teach them what the Bible says. Not teach them the way I want them to go, but teach them the way God speaks to their heart and wants them to go. Now, I've had a bunch of preachers here lately. It says, preacher, says I... Somebody was telling me that
a while back, y'all went in there and added some amendments to the bylaws.
I said, yep, sure did.
He said, what was the amendments about? Well, the amendments was about the same-sex marriage, the sodomites I hear, that they cannot come in and force me to marry them. They cannot come in and allow it to happen.
But even though we've got copies of them. We've got a copy right back there. I've got a copy at the house. I hope that you all got a copy that we can present. But did you realize that we can present that to them? And they're going to say to us, hey, that's meaningful. It's nothing to that. All we got to do is just go to court. We can get a judge to overturn that. We can get a judge to say, you will marry. And I will tell the judge, no, I will not marry. He can't make me. He wants to. But yes, I told them, I says, we went in and we done that. I said, we got it on in the bylaws now. And I had two to ask me, says, you reckon you could send me a copy of that? In the way you had it worded and everything. I said, well, yeah. I said, didn't you think about it? I thought about it ahead of time. I knew it was coming. Some other things is coming too. And I says, you mark me down. You mark what I'm saying down on a piece of paper. In 2015, there's going to come a day and time when the Christian, if they want to fellowship together, if they want to pray together, if they want to learn about God's Word together, they're going to have to do it in somebody's basement. They're not going to be able to do it here. You say, well, nah, they ain't going to make it. Oh, yes, it can, too. Yes, it can. We don't have no say-so anymore. We're in that valley.
Yes, we're in that valley. But within that valley, we become stronger. See, we was all in that valley at one time. You was in a deep, deep, deep valley.
But you didn't give up. You did not give up. Why didn't you? The Lord told you not to. And you obeyed the Lord. Look at how many of them give up. Look at how many that just walked away from the church. Some of them may be in church. Some of them may not be. I don't know. But even that's not a good testimony for them. That does not weigh on their character. Because they don't have much of a character. If they are willing to leave the church, when the church is struggling and when they don't have a pastor, and if a church, and if a people in the church, if they say, well, you know, we done been through this too many times. We done seen too many preachers come here and preachers go and everything. Says, I'm not going to stay no more. You ain't got a business with them. In fact, that's the way they feel. You don't need them. You don't need them because they're going to be more of a hindrance to you Now, I'm not saying that because I'm thinking about leaving. No, I ain't thinking about leaving. Y'all just going to have to get rid of me. And y'all may be the one who have to call the law and say, hey, Hen, we need for you to come take that old preacher out of here. I ain't leaving. But I know one thing. If I bring a hindrance to this church, and if you see it, that what I'm doing is bringing a hindrance to this church and to the work that God wants done to him. And if you don't approach me about it, shame on you. Shame on you. Because you're supposed to make sure what your pastor teaches. He is supposed to be an example for you. And I hope I am. I hope and pray that I am. I've told Brother Bill out here we'd be riding, and I don't know why I'm getting off on this, Lord, but you know, Rami. But I've told Bill plenty of times, I said, Bill, I just feel so unworthy down there now. It's because I never know when a liable will come up and have a bad spell at the house and I can't make it. See, that's me. I feel bad because I can't fulfill my duties. But you know something? The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that. And I hope and pray to the Lord that the individuals that we have gotten down here to fill in my position, that they have not preached something else besides the truth. Because I would rather close the doors down and miss a Sunday than have somebody in the pulpit and leading the people astray. Why? Because we're all in that same valley. But we need to look up. Because when you're in that valley, we can look straight up. We can look up into the heavens. Like yesterday afternoon, me and my wife was outside. And I was looking at the sky. And the clouds there. Just as white. It looked like cotton. And just as fluffy. But they was moving. Who can do that? Nobody but God. Nobody but God. There's one thing. Well, there's two things that I will say this, and I'm gonna say this, and this is hope. I hope and pray it's gonna be the last time I bring it up. But there's two things that the Supreme Court does not have control over. They do not have the control over salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can talk about this climate change and weather change and all that. They can't even change. They don't even have control over the weather. Yeah, they want it. They're doing everything they can to try to get control of the weather. But they ain't going to do it. I believe before it gets to that point, I believe God's going to come down. And God's going to say, well, I'll tell you what. Used to be a city. Used to be a nation that feared God. But you don't fear God no more. We need to get back fearing God. I need to get back in fearing God and what I preach and what I believe in. That if I preach anything different than what I have taught, been taught by the Holy Spirit, I need to fear God enough to where I know that if I go that route, He's going to take me out of hell. Just like that boy down there that was in Bugs Island Lake. This was back in the early 70s. We was down there fishing. It was on a Sunday. We was fishing. It was at the tournament. We was fishing a tournament and everything. But this young man, he wasn't with us. He was just out there, just a fishing and everything. From where we unloaded the boat from the trailer. It's probably about as far from here, maybe to 58 from the dock. But we was all come in. The reason we was all come in, because it started raining. And you could see in a distance thunder and lightning. You could see lightning come down and hit the water. I don't want to be on no water when it's lightning. But we come under that bridge that day, that afternoon. And as we come under that bridge and come around the cove there and started back out toward the boat dock, we noticed up there on the landing where the people was loaded up at the boat and everything, and they could see this individual like that. He stuck his hands up just like his. He says, God, if you're there, and if you're the God that everybody speaks of, come down and strike me. Just like that. He struck him dead. And then we had individuals there. Some of them was with the life-saving crew in Danville. Some of them was with the some of the other rescue squads and everything. But they all rushed out there. And then when I tell this scene, him lying in the boat, he was dead. No reviving him at all. So they couldn't do nothing. Only thing they could do was call the police. Because, you know, you couldn't get him out of the water. That's just like when somebody dies at home. You cannot remove them from your home. You've got to call the police. But I want to fear God. That man didn't fear God. That man was daring. He put a dare on God. He dared God. And I'll tell you one thing. It shook up a whole lot of people. I mean, they heard him on the bank. I mean, he just didn't lift his hands up and say, if you're the God that everybody says that you are, strike me dead. No, he hollered it out. Now that right there's playing with. He just soon had a 45 in his hand and had all six rounds in it. Bam. But people I hear today are doing the same thing and they don't realize it. They're doing the same thing and they don't realize it.
While we walk through the valley, we can look inside. We can look inside the valley. We can see all the richness there. The Word of God will direct us and will draw us to who? To the shepherd. To the shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Word of God will draw us unto the shepherd. Salvation through His Word. You know, Jesus is... I don't know if I should say it or not, but... Because I know some people have misinterpreted and everything. But you know, and I'm going to say it because that's what the Lord wants. And that's what the Holy Spirit's spoken to me about. So, here goes. Did you realize that it was not the Lord Jesus Christ that touched my heart? It wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ that I had to save me from the penalties of hell. It wasn't the Lord. You know who it was? Get this now. What was it? The Word. See, Jesus Christ was not here. But it says in 1 John 1. In the beginning was the Word, that was God. And the Word was what? With God? That's the Son of God. And then it's speaking about the Word is. Wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This right here. So we need to be mindful in the way we handle this book. Because if we just go home and or if we get an automobile, and I used to have the tendency to do it at one time. Until the Holy Spirit revealed that unto me. I used to get in my automobile, and when I get in my driver's seat, before I even got in the driver's seat, when I opened the door, I would take my Bible and I would take it and toss it up there on the desk. I mean, on a dashboard. And when I learned this, when I really read this, and I'd read it, and I'd taught it, and I'd read it, and I taught it. But then one day he gave me that. He said, son, you have to remember one thing. This is just not words that's on a piece of paper. This is Jesus Christ himself. Because he is the Word. And since then, try to make sure that I lay it down on a seat or somewhere else. D-
Do you know where the Bible is during a week at your house? Do you know where you put it at? When you leave church and when you go home and when you put it up, do you know where it's at? Do you? If you know where it's at, then you know where the Lord is. In the valley. I've been down in the valley. It gets lonesome down there sometimes. But in getting lonesome, you ain't gonna stay down too long until you can hit the high notes. And you get to start thinking about the amazing grace of God. And you get to start thinking about the victory that we have in Jesus. And you start thinking about the garden. And you start thinking about communion when we have communion down here. And we start thinking about the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine being there in heaven, and as He comes by, and as He has His angels, and as He sets each one of us down at the table, and then He takes and He tells us, He says, supper time is ready. Supper time is ready. And I'm going to be serving you supper tonight. Hey. He should not be serving me supper. I should be serving Him. But He's serving me supper tonight. Why? Because that's what He said He's going to do. He never goes back on His word. Has He ever went back on you? Never have on me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that He's coming back one day. And when He comes back, I ain't going to be in no grave, hallelujah. I may be in a wheelchair, but praise the Lord, if I am, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to get up on it. You talking about a heavenly flight. Hey, I've never have liked to flunk. I've never have flew in an airplane or any great big airplane. Yes, I flew in one of these little small Cubs or whatever you want to call them or something like that. And the individual that took me up on that, he was about trying to do this and do that and everything. And he was trying to skim him, and he did. And he done a good job at it. And I told him, I said, you get me down and I'll promise you one thing. I'll never get in a plane that you are piloting. I'll promise you that. And I says, I'm like my grandmother. My grandmother says she's never flew. She never wants to fly. And she says, as she remembers in the Word of God, she says, Lo, he had with me. Lo. I mean, but just think. See, I don't know what that dude is driving that aircraft. I mean, up there piloting that aircraft. I don't know what his relationship with the Lord. I don't even know. I don't know if he done the Lord that day or not. I don't know if he's just don't care no more. But I know one thing on that heavenly flight that I'm going to take one day. I ain't got to worry about it. Because I believe this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be standing there in glory at the right hand on the cloud. And as He touches each one of us, He's going to touch us in a way to where when the ones that's in the grave is going to have priority over us, they're going to rise. And as soon as they rise, they're going to be hovering right here. And then, as they're hovering right here, then we are going to, we're going to rise a little more than where we're at. And we're going to all be on the same plane. We're going to be on the same level. And we're going to enter into the portals of glory at the very moment. Hey, I'm looking forward for that. I'm looking forward for that. Are you looking forward for that? I am. I am. But until that happens, He's given us all the job to do. I don't know what the Lord, I don't know what your job is the Lord wants you to do. But the Lord did not save nobody for them to come in church and be a people. Saved each individual for a reason and for a purpose. And that's to carry His. Like I said many times,
heaven's not going to be all that crowded.
I don't believe it's going to be all that crowded. I really don't. How can I say that? You can look at the churches today. Where they at? Where's the people at? They think that they're having a good time. They think that they can just sit back and they can relax. And they can wait till they're 40 or 50 or 60 years old. And then they can get saved. They can't get saved when they want to get saved. The only way an individual can be saved is drawing by the Spirit of God. Then Jesus will save them. But until people realize that they don't have all the time in the world. You know, that one time, I can go back years ago, and you can too. Can you remember at a time that when you opened the paper and when you read the obituary column, there was up in age? Right? But today, there's just as many young ones, middle age, and elderly, all alike. And all the ones that these doctors have taken and aborted and actually killed that unborn baby, they've got to answer to God for that. They got to answer to God. And you know something? Maybe some of it we're going to have to give an answer to, because we didn't go out. And we really did not do what the Lord has asked us to do. I believe I'm going to give an answer to some of it. I didn't go out here and do the surgery, and I didn't abort no baby. But if I really talked to people, have I done anything that I could do? You know the reason why I haven't? You know the reason we don't have no more Christians than we do speak up? And I promise you, I'm going to close with this. The reason for what is a Christian said, I'm just one individual. I'm just one individual. They ain't going to listen to me. You ain't just one individual. I ain't just one individual. I have the Lord on my side. I have the Father that's in heaven. He's on my side. And I have the Holy Spirit that's on my side. So I'm not alone in this. We need to go about doing what we need to do. We need to visit people. I tell you what, I know that day and time we're living, it's hard and hard. Because people do not mind. Just coming up. And not telling you a non-truth. But they're coming up to you and knowing. And knowing that they're lying to you. Lying to me and they're lying to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And we thank you for that valley, Lord, that we get into, Father. And Father, I know, Lord Jesus, as we're in that valley, we can grow. And Father, help us that we may grow in spirit and in truth. And Father, as we leave the services tonight, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will be with each one of the individuals the rest of this evening, tomorrow, and this coming week. Father, that you may give them, Father, strength to do what they are wanting to do for thee. And Father, we pray, Lord, Father, for Sister Nancy. The God, that you may just touch her, that you may bless her, Father, this week. And Father, bless Sister Julia, Lord, as she goes to work tomorrow. And Father, as she goes to work, Father, Lord, that they can hear something from one of the individuals there that don't know you and don't love you, Father. That yes, Lord, that you can speak to their hearts. And they can come to the people that they know that wants to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we are thankful that we can come to you. We're so thankful that you're there to hear and to listen to each one of us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.